Today's episode of Watch Our Crap Happens is brought to you by our Patreon super premium sponsors, Christy Dougherty, Kelly Barlow, Jess Sayin, Cindy Burgess Gerson, and Kelly Grant.
Watch what crap happens, watch what crap happens, who cares what happens when there's so much that crap happens.
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender podcast, and joining me remotely from Las Vegas on his birthday weekend, it's Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and also the Roast Pricks Bachelor in Paradise podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Ben.
Are you surviving? Have you met Elizabeth
Shue?
Girl,
I'm laying in a giant bed in Vegas looking at the gorgeous Vegas skyline, staying at the Westgate Hotel where there's pictures of Elvis everywhere because he used to perform here all the time.
Really?
And I just thought, man, if there's ever a birthday to just die on the shitter, it's this one. And it's like I keep – Elvis is fucking everywhere. I wake up, Elvis is looking at me from one wall, and Marilyn Monroe is trying to get all sexy with me from another wall. It's been an odd birthday. So if I don't come back, it's because I probably had a heart attack while I pooped. Okay, so thank Elvis.
Well, it sounds like a very exciting birthday to me, and I suddenly have lots of FOMO. Somehow that story gave me FOMO because it made me think of all the crazy things
Vegas with you.
Well, it made me think of all the crazy things that happened in Vegas, and like I haven't been to Vegas in, I don't know, a few years now. I think the last time I was in Vegas was on my birthday when I drove out there with Lisa Timmons and our friend Wale. We drove out. We left at 6 in the morning. We drove out there. We arrived at the Bellagio. We had lunch. We played like a few slots, turned around and came back, and we're having dinner in L.A. That was my birthday.
Wow, that's a good one. This one was really weird because I was here with the Queen of Versailles shooting like a little package for her while she did the Mrs. America pageant. Hosted it. And oh my God, what a crazy, it was so fun. I'll tell you about it in the bonus episode later this week.
I can't wait to hear about that. That sounds amazing. Super amazing. Almost as amazing as our live show, which is now less than a week away in the Los Angeles one, at least. We got two ones in Chicago coming up at the end of the month or at the end of September. But oh my God, We're in the home stretch now for this LA show. It's crazy. I can't believe it.
I know. We're going to have so much fun that weekend. I'll have a whole week from now to rest up.
I know. I'm like, oh God, can you hear this? Someone's arrived for the live show. They're a week early. Don't they know? Can you hear the motorcycle out there? This I'm so excited for this live show, but I am also so excited to not be doing stuff for the live show.
I know.
So excited to be done. It's like it's endless. I can't even imagine what putting on a wedding is like. If this live show is this much work.
I know. I hate doing things.
Doing things is the worst. I still have a basket full of clean laundry that I've been at. It's out in my living room for the past week.
Doing things.
Well, every time I should be, you know, sorting my laundry, I'm like, ugh, I gotta do stuff for the live show. And every time I'm like, I gotta do stuff for the live show, I'm like, oh, I gotta work on that laundry. And then I go, I sit on the couch, I do nothing.
Well, every time you try and start sorting your laundry, I think, you know, babe, I'm pregnant. And it would be nice if Ben would consider folding my laundry and picking through my laundry because, you know, like, I don't need to be waited on. But, babe.
Babe.
I'm pregnant.
Yes. Asa, we are talking about Shaw's of Sunset today, and this week's episode opens up with Asa in just full self-aggrandizing asshole mode, which is great. She shows up at her parents' house, and she's, they put out this whole spread of food. It looks good. It looks delicious. I'm ready for, like, a heartwarming scene. And instead, it's just Asa talking about Israel and how it was so physically demanding. She thought she couldn't even do it, but she pushed through, the survivor that she is, because she's also the first lady that has ever been pregnant in Israel.
Oh, my God. So the mom, she's like, "Mommy, I missed your food," which is, like, so nice. Mm-hmm. It's like, geez, miss you too, bitch. So she comes in to get her free food. And her mom's like, or Asa says, "I'm so tired." And her mom goes, "That is the," and then she puts in quotes, "pregnancy," out of quotes, talking. I was like, oh, my God, even her mother thinks it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Her exactly. Mom is basically saying, like, there's the science experiment growing in your womb.
Yeah.
Making you tired.
So Asa goes on this whole pity party thing, and she's like, "Yeah, babe, I felt like so alone physically, babe, mom. Like, it was just, like, I was alone, and, like, no one's looking out for me. Like, I'm pregnant, and no one's looking out for me." And one of my favorite things in a reality show is when producers or editors are clearly, like, against one of their own stars, because they supplied such a montage that was so contradictory to what anything Asa said. She's like, "No one even helped me with bags." And they show Gigi, of all people, being like, "I got these bags. Yeah, I'll take all these bags. It's fine."
Yeah, it's especially because they're rolling.
Yeah.
Like, this cast, like, they're nice when it's convenient, you know? And then Destiny helped her down a step. She's like, "There's no one even to help me down steps." And it's like someone helping her down a step. "No one even asked about me." And Red's just like, "Let me know if you need something."
even the ocean didn't even give me a helping hand. They show the Dead Sea literally lifting her up, floating her.
Fucking Asa. So she... hold on, there was something I wanted to say about her. Oh yeah, she's like, "I was alone physically."
Yeah, I was wondering what she mean by that.
I was alone, you know, physically.
I'm like, you separated okay. yourself from the group to hang out with, like, three hippies who call themselves spiritual leaders.
I know, those hobos. Like, to dance around the streets with hobos who are, like, praying for tips.
Don't you know? Remember, like, while you were alone, your friends were being scandalized by toy guns? Who's the real
man? Victim? Like, terrorist Christmas. And Asa says, you know what's a real thing? Pregnancy brain. My regular brain, it's like an almond right now. I was like, no, it's not, because you would have eaten it.
So she did contribute to our drought. I knew it.
Yeah. So Shervin Mike next.
Did you going say almond or omelet?
Almond.
Oh,
but I went with it. I was like, yeah,
almond trees, almond harvests were one of the big, like, users. Almond farmers used up a lot of water. That was the whole thing. But I thought that she had said her brain was like an omelet. So then I realized afterwards, I was like, wait, didn't she say her brain was an omelet?
Oh, I don't know. I just know she said it was a food product. She's like, my regular brain was like a Mike and Ike.
All I know is that her brain came with a side of hash browns and a choice of bacon or sausage.
My regular brain is like a McMuffin.
I just like to have options, babe.
Babe. So Serv and Mike are in their big party SUV with their cousins in the back, like, trying to get their faces into the camera while they take shots from, you know, red cups.
Yeah.
And then they go to this sad club in Hollywood. Whenever they go to a club in Hollywood, it makes me feel like, aww.
I know.
Because it's just so dirty. Like, Hollywood Boulevard is just so dirty and gross. And, you know, everybody, it really does look like kind of the end of the world. You know, those... Well, like every TV show now, how it's like the zombie apocalypse and stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Shaw's that. Apocalypse. It's just like, yeah, you just walk down, everyone's kind of twitching and scratching parts of themselves, and, like, they all smell, and everyone's wasted. And, like, no matter what part of town you're in, you hear car alarms and, like, bottles breaking on the ground.
I was, like, just waiting for a bottle to break as soon as you said that on cue outside my window. Because
you
that's
hear
like
it all
every
the
night.
Time.
Every, you know what? Last night I was like, I went to my bathroom and I heard like all this, like one dog just would not stop barking and start howling. I was like, what the fuck? I look out the window. There were like full, there's two coyotes just standing in the intersection, just making noise. I was like, this is such a weird neighborhood. Just in the intersection. And then two drunk people come walking by and I thought to myself, I should warn them that there's a coyote up ahead. And I was like, eh, they'll figure it out.
Yeah. In other words, just treat it like natural street sweeping.
You know? I got swept by a street sweeper last week. I was walking down the sidewalk. A street sweeper came right on up and street swept me. It was so rude. I was like, excuse me, I'm trying to get to my coffee. And now I've got dust on my shins.
Got like a little free shoe shine.
It's just, it feels violating. So anyway, so Mike and Sherman,
speaking
they go to this
speaking
club.
Speaking of being violated.
Yeah, speaking of street sweepers.
Sherman and Mike.
Speaking of hairy spinning things. Sherman and Mike are at this club that is fully empty, probably because they shot this at 3 p.m. and they hired people off of Craigslist to fill out the scene. So they're there, and the lights are fully on. Listen, I am a student of the hills. I know what it's like when cameras go into real clubs, okay? You can't see shit. You can't hear shit. You have all these subtitles. It's, like, grainy. This was, like, brightly lit. Everyone spoke perfectly clear. It was so clearly set up, it bothered me.
Yeah, I think it's, like, that old Star Shoes location, because they're always going to that same location.
I miss
and
Star
it
Shoes.
Just changes the it just changes the sign every time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was sad, and it was like all red in there, and it was mostly just them, and they're like, order some bottles, which I always think is so funny. I don't know why. I'm so lazy right now, by the way. I understand I'm giving like 20% energy, but it's just what I was rolling over in bed and putting like all these little cheap pillows together to make a big pillow. And then I was like, I can't read this on my computer laying like this. So I opened it on my iPad instead. And now I'm just like sitting here breathing in my underwear and the iPad is going up and down.
No, I can hear that you've had a long weekend in Vegas and that you're in a very comfortable hotel bed. And I'm like jealous. I'm officially jealous.
Oh my God, you shouldn't be jealous. I really think I'm going to die shitting.
No.
Like, I really think
that's
no,
I'm just jealous
happen.
That you're in a hotel bed because those are always so comfy.
Oh, well, you know, we got good, comfortable beds, me and you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, I got, yeah, that's right. We got our Casper.
Girl, I miss my bed. When
it's
I'm
not so
the
much
hotel.
About the, it's not so much about the mattress because, you know, I love my Casper. It's more about like the bedding. You know, I always try to make my bedding really, I've been trying to make my bedding nice, but it's nasty. And I have like I have white pillowcases and guess what? They're starting to like turn gross colors because that's and you feel shame. It's like, why? I can't help it. I can't help that my body, I have oils like every other human, but for some reason I don't know.
So no, darling, we need maids. I like when everything's like cleaned every week, like fresh sheets every few days. And
I did that. I did that. I had like a stretch like in 2013 where like I had this thing where on Mondays I did this, I cleaned this part of the apartment, and Tuesdays and I had a section that I cleaned every single day, and my apartment was clean, and it was wonderful. And like ever since then, I've never been able to clean anything. I'm like, I can't. I mean, I changed my sheets.
I like seeing the depression, like, represent itself physically in my life. Like, I like walking in my house, like, and I step on a paper plate on my way in the door, or
it's like saying hello.
Okay, sorry.
So anyway,
okay, so speaking of being depressed,
yeah.
Speaking of a physical representation of depression,
Mike.
So Mike and Shervin are still in there, and Mike's like, "In Israel, I had a jupiphany, you know, and so now I want to go out and find somebody. I need to find somebody to marry." I'm like, "You just ordered bottles. You're at a fucking disgusting club in Hollywood, and you're drinking Midori from a bottle."
Yeah. Okay. And you're only allowed to have so many epiphanies, whether they're epiphanies or jupiphanies. You have one every single week. Like, you open up, like, a Cracker Jack's box. Like, I just had an epiphany. I need to be opening more things in my life, like this box. It's like, no, Mike, you don't get to have an epiphany with that Cracker Jack's box. Okay? So...
a jupiphany.
Sorry, a matzah box. So, Reza...
like, you know what I need? Some chocolate coins that are covered in gold.
Oh, I could
gold paper. It was a Jupiphany.
I'm really craving some chocolate right now, so don't play. So Reza shows up. He's like, hey, and they're all there, and then they're like, they're looking at some girl by the bar, and Reza's like, this bitch is like, I'm gonna wear my flats, my comfy shoes, and Mike goes, how are you gonna wear flats in a club? I'm like, because she doesn't want people like you talking to her. That's why, because she knows people like you are gonna see her, see those flats, be disgusted, and not even approach her. She's got the right idea.
Especially, look, you're like a Persian Adam Levine, okay? Like, I don't know who you think you're kidding. Auntie Mike, like, with your hair teased and your fucking eyebrow pencils. And Reza looks like he's wearing something from a Costco. And I know because I go there with my mom sometimes. And I'm like, oh, there's that shirt from the Costco. Yeah. And he's like, oh, that girl wearing flats. It's like, okay. Okay, Kirkland.
Kirkland or that Target brand, what was it called? Mondavi or whatever, or Munda. Maybe just call it Munda. I don't know.
Mundo. So Reza is like, Mike is like, hey, or was it Sherv? One of them's going, to this girl passing by, this like 15-year-old girl who just got off the school bus, like for some reason is in this bar.
Yeah, well, at one point, Shervin's like, Mike's a little rusty, so I'm going to show him how it's done, so excuse me. And he, like, walks up, he's like, hey, what are you doing up here at the bar ordering a drink, huh?
She's like, hey, look at you, you're ordering a drink. Like, you know, look, maybe I'll have a drink with you. Yeah, my name's Shervin.
Yeah, write a book. What a shock. Someone talks to you when you show them a table full of bottles and buy them free drinks. You guys exactly. are really killing it.
So Mike is now drunk, and he's just disgusting the way he's hitting on these women. He's, like, stroking their faces, and he's like, you're actually very cute. And then he turns to another one and strokes her face. He goes, oh, don't get jealous. You're very pretty, too. Trust me. I'm like, ew.
Yeah, he's really
like
disgusting.
Talking like a villain in some weird movie, you know? Like, with you know, those Bond villains with their harems of women? That's what he's doing.
Yeah, he's like, I like when you talk, but maybe you should just, like, put my duel in your mouth.
Yeah.
Make it more useful. It's like, he's disgusting.
Yeah.
And then Destiny's talking to him, and she's like, whoa, Mike, I love him. But, like, the way he talks to girls, like, I know that you think, like, maybe we would be fucking, but, like, this is not going to happen because we're just, like, friends. And I think Destiny really wants to get boned by Mike. What do you think?
I'm starting to get the sense that Destiny is smarter than all the people on this show, and she has a good idea of what's going on, and she's like, I'm not touching any of them with a 10-foot pole or a duel.
Yeah.
But Mike is being so condescending to these women. He's like, hey, don't ever get any fucking breasts. You're perfect. Just this, everything right here, this is perfect. Don't change a thing. And he says to another girl, he's like, I will change your life. I will change your life. I'm like, not for the better.
Yeah, you're drinking Midori from the bottle, sir. Okay? You need to change your life.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like, there's nothing, you know, like I had a Jupiphany right now. If I were a rich man, la-di daddy 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 da. All day long I doody doody do. If I was a wealthy man, but dum bum.
I'm having a Jupiphany and I'm looking at my life and, you know, it goes sunrise, sunset. Sunrise, sunset. It's crazy. Day times fly.
All day long I bitty bitty bum. Okay.
Is this the little bottle of Midori I walked in here with? Is this the booze that I drank?
I can't.
I wish I knew the next lyric so I could finish
it. I just love
that
Mike's Sunrise Sunset is about a bottle of Midori.
Well, he does that. You know, he clearly is one of those dancers at that part in the musical. What are the bottle dancers or whatever? You know, when all the Hasidic guys are like doing that dance, but they're all balancing bottles on their head. He's got a bottle of Midori on his. You know what? Tradition. It's like
tradition.
A bottle of Midori on the roof. Dun 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 dun. Dun.
I'm having a sneezing attack.
Midori.
Midori.
Midori. Midori.
I love Fiddler on the Roof. I'm going to be singing that now all night long.
I've actually never seen it. I've never seen the movie all the way through, and I've never seen the musical. I've seen scenes of the musical because I saw, when I was younger, I saw Jerome Robbins Broadway, so there was like, they showed many scenes of it, you know?
I love that show.
Yeah, but I've never actually seen Fiddler on the Roof, and I actually feel like I should see it because I feel like I would just like cry the entire time.
No, it's a really good show. And then when you cry, you're like crying because, I don't know, the guy's name is Zero. You know, and it's like he's still happy. He still worked so hard to be happy. So Mike is like, I'm having a jupiphany. I'm realizing that there's nothing here I want. I want a woman who likes to be at home. The woman I love needs to wake up for work the next day and have a job so I could fund my baby shoe company.
And every time he says,
try and make cabbage soup.
And every time he lists something that he wants in a woman, they keep showing flashbacks of Jessica, which is so mean. Like, you messed up, you fucked up, fuck you.
It's like a woman who likes to cook. She's like, I think this is right.
And then some girl just comes over and starts twerking on his face, and he like pushes her away. He's like, I don't want this anymore. I'm like, whatever, you loved it. Yeah.
Whatever, you loved it.
You loved that twerk. It was amazing.
Appreciate that face.
It was an
twerk.
Amazing twerk. It was right in your face. You deserved it. You deserved it because you're such a dick, and you should be made uncomfortable by a twerk. So then we go to then we cut to an antique shop where Reza is walking in. And I was like, my first instinct was, this is not going to be good. You know, when Reza goes into an antique shop, things are bad. Something terrible is about to happen.
I'll give you $5. Okay, $5.25. Okay, $5.20. So they're looking for knobs.
He's with MJ. Here with MJ.
Cabinet knobs.
There are so many knobs.
Yeah, so many knobs. He's like, she's a disaster. Like, homegirl, like, doesn't even understand, like, cabinetry. Like, making a change is so difficult. So we're just going to start with knobs, you know? Like, it always starts with a knob.
You know, here's the thing. If she's going to have problems, why would you take her to a store that has a million knobs? More knobs than has ever been seen. Just present her with 3 samples and say, which one do you want best? That's how they do it on HGTV. You know, the lady, the flipper flop lady, she comes in with backsplash number 1 and backsplash number 2, which is basically just backsplash number 1. And she says, Torek, which one do you think? Do you want to do the white subway tiles, or you want to do the white subway tiles with a Moroccan imprint in the middle?
And he has Torek.
White subway tiles.
And he's like, I hate you and our baby.
Torek.
And I like that Israel gets all the credit for this. He's like, yeah, if you're like a human being with even 50% awareness, then Israel's going to change your life. For example, MJ is ready to buy cabinet knobs.
I mean, hell? I know you're up against the Western Wall, but I didn't know that like renovation was going to be the thing that you got out of this.
And MJ's such an idiot. She's like, well, I really like that one, but I don't like the circles. And then she goes, you know, I want to handle. These knobs are played out.
Knobs are so played out. It's like, you know what? It's been like centuries, and I'm like, enough already, okay? Let's let the handles have their moment, okay?
She's saying, you know, can you turn on the water without a knob? No. Can you, you know, can you turn off the music without a knob? No. And if I don't pick the right knob, then it's going to be a daily reminder of everything I did wrong, you know? Like one bad decision. I'm like, what do you think having a baby is going to be like?
Have you seen Tommy?
At least you can change a knob if you don't what, like it.
Yeah, what runs through your head when you look at your window and you see your mother right there? Okay. I think that's more of the pressing reminder than a bunch of doorknobs.
Well, fortunately, I don't think anything about MJ runs.
Yeah, that's true. So,
MJ, what do you think you're doing in there making
MJ?
Papers?
No, what are you doing with the handles? Where's the rod? Where's the knobs? It's the knob.
MJ, well, these knobs are these ugly. Knobs.
So then we go over to a hookah lounge. It's nighttime, And Reza walks in there. And
can I ask you a question? How are hookah lounges a thing?
You know, I hate hookah lounges.
How are they a thing? Is it for sober people because they don't have alcohol in there? And I'm just thinking, who goes to like breathe in air freshener coals?
It's like a thing, and I don't know. I mean, I know that there's like obviously like a cultural aspect to it. So I don't want to
be cultural. Ignorant. You mean a cultural appropriation?
Well, yeah.
Thing that. About it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not. I don't appropriate it because I really hate hookah. I hate hookah. Like, I went to a birthday party at a hookah lounge like 2 years ago, and I was like, I'm never going back to one of these. It's just because I hate the smell. I really hate the smell of fruity smoke. It's disgusting.
I hate the smell, and I really hate share. It's like you're really realizing what it is to be a human sharing the same air with people, you know? Because they like bring you all these tubes, and then you're looking at maybe some of your grosser friends like, ew, we're like both bubbling off of the same thing.
Yeah. To me, I get that sensation when I'm walking down the street and someone has a vape pen, and their vape is like fruity, and all of a sudden you get this waft of just generic strange fruitiness, but it doesn't smell like fruit. It just has this weird smell. It's disgusting, and I'm like, you know, I think it's really great that you're using a vape pen, you know, instead of a cigarette, so you're not, you know, but like. You're still being a public nuisance, okay? You're still entering in another scent that's not supposed to be there, okay? Get a scentless vape pen, and we can all enjoy this public space.
Well, you should just start walking around with one of those freshener trees from a car around your neck. Mm-mm. You could just get everybody back.
I'm just walking around with nasty glares. I mean, I'm really on a... I have been on a real soapbox tear about muscle cars and vape pens lately, and it's all I have left.
Well, being here in Vegas, everybody's smoking. You know, you can smoke indoors here at the casinos and stuff, and it is so weird seeing that. I'm not used to that anymore.
It's a strange thing. So this hookah lounge. So Reza's sitting there waiting for people to show up, and MJ calls, and she's like, "Guess what? You can't tell anyone, but Tara and Shervin have been fucking." This is Tara. Tara, who we've seen on the fringes of the season, but we know her mainly from Newlyweds the first year. The last season that we saw was Tara and Robert, remember?
Yeah, with her controlling-ass husband.
And I was like, and that's what I read. I was like, you know what, honestly, if Tara and Shervin have been fucking, I fully support it. Because Shervin's, you know, adorable, he's successful, and Tara's husband sucked. So I say get it, girl.
You go, sister.
Yeah. I fully support it.
Yeah, Shervin's like a good move because he's like rich as F.
Yeah.
So take it, sister. So apparently Rob kicked her out of the house after he found out. And Reza's like, we know this girl, Tara, and she happens to be married to a very nice white man. And then they show this clip of the girl, which I don't know. Just I don't know why that struck me as odd, but Reza's just such an asshole.
Yes.
They show a girl party clip around a pool or something, and they're like, let's play truth. Okay, so tell me the truth, Annalise. Is it true that Shervin likes to be manhandled in the bedroom? And then Tara is like, like, I can't believe you told her. I told you that. I'm like, really smooth.
Yeah, smooth one, Tara. Smooth. We actually met Tara. Where did we meet Tara? Remember we met her?
Live show.
Was it our live show?
Yeah, Craig brought her to the
That's
live
right,
show
from he, last year.
She's super sweet.
Yeah, she was super, super sweet. Her boobs are enormous.
And hot.
Yeah.
She's like so beautiful.
Yeah, I'm happy for her if she was getting some of that Shervin D. Oh, well, at this point of the show, I was happy for her. I changed my opinion over the course of the hour. Are you sneezing? What's going on over there?
I'm so sorry. I've been sneezing.
You sounded like you were horrified by something. Because I said, I changed my opinion. You go,
I'm trying to do it away from the microphone. I guess I'm not getting far enough away. I'm having like a sneezing fit. So let's see. Reza.
So again.
What is it? What am I smelling? I don't like it. I don't like this.
You're allergic to Vegas. Or maybe you're just allergic to just even the thought of hookah. But MJ basically promises Reza not to tell anyone. And he's like, okay, I promise not to tell anyone. And then, of course, as soon as he sits, as he gets off the phone, the guys arrive. So Mike arrives, then Shervin, then Tommy. So, you know, Reza's
just like
dying. It's
so funny watching Tommy hang out with him.
I know, it's
he's
weird,
like,
right?
Hey, you lost hookah, huh? Yeah, all right.
So he's there, and then Mike is wearing, like, one of those little mini fedora things from Target.
Yeah. As opposed to my big fedora that I have, and now I feel weird wearing it because it's so big. I told you that, right? That I got a big fedora?
Yeah, I can't get behind it, but I support you.
I don't know.
I support you as a person, but I can't support your fedora.
It looked so good in the store. It really did. And now I'm like, I don't know about this fedora anymore.
Although, if there is ever a mystery I need solved, you'll be the first person I call.
It's not that kind of fedora. So anyway, so they order a quesadilla.
You're like scanning computers for viruses.
So they order a quesadilla and hummus, which I thought was strange. Like, you've got hookah odors, and then you're going to have a quesadilla and hummus. It just seemed all over the map. And we learned that Mike has been constipated ever since Israel. So maybe now I understand why Asa was craving her mom's food. She had some bad grains out there.
And they showed them at the airport. All of the friends were standing outside the airport bathroom yelling, "Go, Mike! Go, Mike!" Because he couldn't poop. And then when he pooped, he comes out and they're all cheering.
I understand why Jessica left him. She couldn't compete with the feces.
Also, I have to note that when Tommy entered, the music changed to like a tuba section of a marching band. It's like,
Tommy's
theme.
Yeah,
it's like it's like Sousa. dance music.
Hey guys, I'm here. The Mets lost.
So Reza, of course, is not gonna say anything, but he's gonna make sure that Shervin digs himself into a hole. So he's like, "So tell me about Annalise. Is she the one?" And he's like,
"Yeah, you know, I never thought it before, but I think I'm
doing like Erica Jane, weird Erica Jane voice."
He's like, I always thought I'd have a Persian wife, but now I'm realizing I could have a white wife from Australia.
Yeah, like, this is the first girl that makes me realize that my wife doesn't have to be Persian.
Wow.
Reza's just nodding mankind, along and okay. Sipping. Yeah.
And then Reza, as he talks, Reza's just like taking the bubble hit and then looking back and forth guiltily, but like guiltily / judgily as he does.
Yes.
Where he's like, "Should I yell at him now or wait till there's more people here?"
Yeah. You could see he was waiting. He was like, he probably got like a tip off that Tara was going to come and like confront Shervin at a party. So he didn't want to upstage that moment.
I would rather do this in a heart wig.
So then the next day, Gigi and Shervin meet at a baby store, and Gigi has now decided that she wants to have baby fever too, since all the other girls have it. So she is now ready to pop one out, which is
my friend's having a baby. There's a penis growing inside of her.
Really? I'm like, we understand when you first said that joke, it was in a different continent. But, like, we've seen it now twice, and you can't keep recycling that joke. It's not a good running joke.
I know.
She's like, yeah, she's got a penis growing inside of her. I know what it feels like to have a penis shrinking inside of you, but I look forward to the other experience.
She's like, I want to have a baby because I've always wanted to have a baby. I just want to, like, have a baby and, like, make this baby into someone better than I am. I'm like, okay, well, you can, like, give it, like, a bag of M&Ms, and you're already, like, three steps ahead of you.
She says, as a kid, I wanted a whole football team of babies, because they're so pure. Football players, I mean. Babies suck. But I still got this thing growing inside of me. What's it called? Baby fever? I was like, girl, the minute you get pregnant, you're going to have the most historic baby, because she's going to get pregnant, hit 6 months, and that baby's going to start, like, running out of her womb. They're going to be like, a baby literally crawled out of somebody's vagina and started running down the street. It's going to be all over the news.
I also like to say, I feel like Gigi is, I know she's suddenly decided she has baby FOMO, but she will not be allowed to use pregnancy brain as an excuse for any of her actions this season. Okay, we're not.
Oh,
we're not
allowing that.
Use
any part of her brain.
Yeah.
For her actions.
So,
she's like, her ringer is like, ring, ring, ring.
Ring, yeah, ring, 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 ring. I wonder, was that Cartman or something? Or Tommy?
It's Tommy.
Who?
So Gigi is going to have an 80.
Did you get my joke? You said it's Tommy.
Who?
I said who? The who?
Tommy, can you hear me? Ba-dum, bum, bum. Hear the thunder.
So, yeah, it's like, ring, 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 ring. It's my doctor,
ring,
excuse
ring,
me.
Ring, ring.
You, what?
Ring, ring, ring. I'm just dying. I'm in the goddamn hospital. This is all you can think about. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness. No wonder why Shalom left her. That ringtone alone.
Ring, 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 ring.
Like, I'm like, done with you, no? So, let's see here. What's
the doctor's office saying that she's been off. She's going to be – she just stopped using her RA medication last week so that way she can get pregnant. And in 2 months, she can start trying for a baby. I'm like, this does not seem wise on many different levels.
Yeah, you know, I love conspiracies. I read, like, conspiracy websites and stuff. Yeah. And it's really hard to not think that this show is just trying to get the country to root for forced sterilization.
Yeah.
You know, I think something's coming down the pike, you guys. You heard it here first.
Yeah, I think so.
So she's like, yeah, I thought I was going to have to wait 6 months to get pregnant with this guy that I've been dating for 2 weeks, but I only have to wait 2 months. And Sherman's like, you know, that's what they call, like, rushing it, okay? Here's rushing it. Here's how you define rushing it. 2 months dating somebody, then you're talking about pregnancy, then you get a tattoo on your body.
I'm like, you have an interesting order to those.
Yeah. So then Gigi starts telling Shervin about MJ's gossip that she's starting to spread, sort of vaguely talking about it. And, of course, Shervin denies it. No, I never did that. But what was interesting to me was that the producers inserted some flashback footage from Newlyweds. It was not from Shaw's, which, obviously, it's all Bravo, so it's no big deal. But I thought that was sort of, like, surprising. You don't often see flashbacks to entirely different shows and franchises on Bravo for the crossover. But I was happy for it.
What was the flashback? I forgot.
It was just their wedding. It was just their wedding. But part of me was thinking, you know, Rob was a dick, but Tara was the woman who, like, basically, like, destroyed their entire Italian trip because on the drive to LAX, she had so much anxiety that they had to turn around and go back to Malibu, and a 2 week vacation was canceled.
Yeah. Remember, and then they had that remodel?
Oh, God.
They're like, we can't even live in our house. And then they just got, like, more terrible, like, cabinetry. That was
I mean, we knew that. So we knew that relationship was never going to last because he was like a control freak asshole, you know, who would do weird yoga shit in the corner, and she's her. So I'm glad it's over. I'm glad it's over.
And Gigi's also so full of shit because in that clip that we saw earlier, where it looked like Tara was like, "Oh my god, I can't believe you mentioned that I said Shervin likes to be manhandled," or whatever, Gigi goes, "I would never suspect that Tara, a married woman, would be messing around with Sherv, even though she's known this, like, the whole time."
Yeah.
And Shervin's like, "Whoa, that's not even true, dude. Like, it's almost funny. Like, I don't even know where this is coming from. It's almost funny. It's like the Big Bang Theory."
Like, is there like a little baby outfit that says it's almost funny? Because I could get that as a gift, because it's true. It's true. It's, I mean, not the rumor. That's a lie. But it's almost funny. That's true.
Is there some kind of onesie that says you're fucking crazy, you stupid bitch? Like, boil a bunny, okay, bitch?
Read my lips. No, my lips. Stop looking at your reflection in my hair. My lips. I did not have sexual relations with that lady.
Do you have a yarmulke that would fit me at this baby's door? Do you guys have bobby pins? Could you tell Israel about them? Thanks.
They sell toy guns there.
Oh, by the way, one of our listeners made, I think it was one of our listeners, made a really good point about that whole toy gun situation, talking about how dumb these people were, saying that, like, those age recommendations have nothing to do with, like, who they're those toys are targeted for. It's just a safety thing. Like, don't let kids under 3 near this, because they may eat at something and they may choke. So it wasn't like, look, it's toy guns for 3-year-olds. No, it's saying if you're 3 years older, 3 years older, younger, you can't play with this because it's a choking hazard. Glad I cleared that up, everyone. You're welcome. It's really important to know the regulations on Israeli toys. I want to make sure we're all on the same page here, okay? I don't want any regulatory committee to go unrecognized, okay?
So Dupivity.
So then now Reza and Adam go over to like one of those cat cafes, which I really want to go to. Because is that like a Reza, thing? Yeah, it is a thing. And I thought there was only one in, I thought there's like one in Koreatown. Maybe there are more. But like Reza, I love cats, so I would totally go there and like look at cats and drink a latte.
God. It's like, what is happening right now? He's like, yeah, ever since we went to that wonderful trip in Thailand or whatever with that Adam, like, I love cats, all kinds of cats. I love that pussy, not that kind. Oh, jeez. So Adam's like, you know what this reminds me of? Babies.
Oh, God.
It reminds me of babies. Like, look at this cat. It could be our baby. Ow! Ow, that hurt. I think he understood what I was saying. It's like, take this as a sign, okay?
He's going to take the cat to lunch and have to tell the cat, I told people for an entire week that I was slapped by Gigi, okay? Because you mauled me in the face.
He's like, now that I've recovered from my abuse, I'm on a baby.
And so Adam's like,
you said if the compromise was, I would let that adoption lady into our house for you to horrify if you would just go get your sperm analyzed.
And Rez is like, listen, I want to adopt. I'm trying to keep the adoption dream alive. I'm watering that motherfucker. I'm like, oh, God.
But Adam's whipping his dick out and saying, it looks like we're going to have to go down the surrogacy route, which I think was always the plan. And he just wants to do this adoption thing to like try and look like a good person.
Oh, yeah.
Not that he's ever, you know, I mean, that shows some human growth, because I don't know that he's really ever tried that before. But
I don't even believe he even wants to have a kid, to be honest. I think this is Adam's weird. It's not a weird thing, because it's a pretty like central part of human existence, but like I think it's his cause celebre to have a child. I think Rez is just like, bitch, I just want another brooch.
And he says, well, I'll have to start sperming tomorrow, because I already jacked off once today. And then I just had, you know, like everybody else who watched this, just that flash of an image of what that would be like. And I'm telling you again, for sterilization. You see what I'm saying with this show?
There's probably some traumatized cat in the back room.
The cats are all running up against the glass walls.
That's not themselves. Milk you're licking. So Mike, we now go to Mike and his business partner. And they're like in his room, like going through like inventory or stock or whatever. And they're just like talking about business, and Mike's talking about being an entrepreneur and how hard it is and how he got into Kitson, but then Kitson went bankrupt and now they stole all this money from him and now he's going to keep going forward. So the big thing is that now Mike is selling baby shoes, which is hilarious to me. I just am imagining these little shoes having like these black drawn-in beards.
Like each piece comes with an eyebrow pencil.
Yeah.
And also, I love that he's talking about how shocked he is that he got screwed over. Didn't last season end with him driving to the border of Mexico to pick up shoes from the fucking shoe smugglers or whatever?
Yeah, he showed up for the last 10 minutes of his own party because he drove down to Mexico. Yeah, it was so ridiculous.
He's like, yeah, you know, like, I plant my flag and I stand behind my shoes. And it reminds me of my grandfather who came to this country and struggled for pink suede shoes. In the not too distant future, I will be the patriarch of my family. It's like, you you are ridiculous. Please don't try and ever take care of anybody ever. Please. A patriarch?
What?
He's a patriarch.
I just want to know what is going on with this cast this season. They all want to have babies. It's actually getting annoying. It makes me want them to bring back Sammy from season one at this point. I mean, anything.
Sammy. Tommy's kind of like the white version of Sammy.
He kind of is, yeah, except he doesn't work for Muhammad.
Or wear fedoras or whatever those like golf hats he used to wear.
Yes. Whatever. Yes, he
so now at lunch, Shervin and MJ are having lunch, and MJ's wearing a wolf shirt, which, you know, watch out.
Yeah.
It's a sign.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'll order a glass of Sauvignon Blanc.
And he gets a Michelada. Are
these people fucking kidding?
Yeah.
We just heard Peachy Arc, and now we're going to Sauvignon.
Well, how about Shervin, who orders a Michelada, but hold the tomato mix. Just give me the beer with, like, some lime juice and, like, salt. I'm like, that's just called, like, a Corona. It's a Corona with lime. You don't have to be, like, Michelada, hold the tomato. Like, no, that doesn't, what does you don't get, it's not, that's like saying, I'll have a Bloody Mary, hold the tomato juice, and hold the horseradish, and hold everything else in the olives. Just give me vodka on the rocks.
Oh, yeah. Give me a Bloody Mary, but no orange juice, none of the hot sauce, or horseradish, or anything like that.
Hey,
so,
vodka?
I'll
have a virgin margarita, but could you add in, like, maybe, like, some extra sugar into that, and maybe could you swap out the lime for lemon? That would be great. Like, yeah, you just order lemonade. I'm on a tear tonight. I'm not going to be satisfied until I get all these thoughts off my chest.
Can I just have an Arnold Palmer, but just like Thomas?
Can I just have, like, you know what? Can I get an Arnold Palmer, but like hold the lemonade? Thanks.
Can I just get a palm? So
can I get a Robert Palmer? I hear they're completely irresistible.
Mike's like, no, sorry, he's working with me. He's my partner. Okay,
Palmer.
So
the ghost of Robert Palmer.
MJ and Shervin. So they go to lunch, and Shervin's like, yeah, I was running around today with my friends, Gigi, you know, talking about how penises always shriek when they're inside of her and stuff. And MJ's like, hears about baby rumors. And then he said,
well, she told me that you said that someone said that I was fucking somebody, blah blah blah, and you know, it's just that I'm really upset and I'm hurt that you would like talk to me first.
Yeah.
And she's like, he's so controlling, like he invited me to lunch for damage control. I said, how is that controlling? You're spreading shit about him and he did a nice thing and is actually taking you to lunch to confront you about it, you fucking twat.
Yeah, actually,
you're the one
you're right.
Who has nothing to do with anything that's spreading all this bullshit just to hurt somebody else.
Yeah, I did think though that was I think you're absolutely right. I also think that it was a total tell on Shervin's part to say, I don't know why you didn't come to me with this, because that shows he's more concerned about his image than being like, no, this didn't happen at all. I don't know why anyone was saying this. That's kind of crazy. I wish I had banged her. You know, something like that. But the fact that he's like, I don't know why you didn't come to me first, sort of implies, like, aside from, like, stop spreading gossip before you hear my side of the story, but it also implies, like, if you talked to me first, maybe we could have, you know, put a spin on this or whatever, you know?
Yeah. So he's like, yeah, I didn't sleep in there. It's just, like, it's crazy. She's telling everyone she's seeing people, you know, and then she's saying it's me. I mean, she's insane.
She has serious problems.
Yeah, like, she's, like, nuts. She's cuckoo.
I like how your impersonation of Shervin just agreed with my impersonation of Shervin.
Yeah, there's Shervin. I totally agree. Great point.
I like when you do it, because I get better with mine, because you have a really good impression of him. And I
just, you know, it's Sheriff, you know. You just have to, like, basically take Erica Jane and have her, like, wake up after a night of cigarettes and drinking. That's all.
And MJ, of course, is just doing this for womankind.
Yes.
Because she's like, you know, Tara, it's like she has this husband and then she just left him because she thought that she would be able to be with Shervin, but she didn't realize that Shervin just wants to serve, so she ruined her marriage for nothing. It's like, wow. Way to really help the good person in this situation,
yeah.
MJ. She's exactly. like mad for the one who just totally fucked over her husband on national TV.
But this will be, again, this is one of those few times where we actually support that. We support her leaving Rob, for sure.
Yes,
at least I do.
Yes.
So,
I do too.
So then we go over to the Intercontinental, I believe, downtown. And MJ shows up at a hotel room. Tommy's in this hotel room. It's one of these newfangled hotel room decor things. Have you seen this before where the bed is in the middle of the room?
It's weird.
It's weird. I saw it once at the SLS here in like West Hollywood-ish. It's awful. I don't understand this idea. It's because I guess that you put the desk behind the bed and then you can sit at the desk and watch the TV, but you can, but then the bed's also there too. I hate it. I think it's terrible.
Well, I just hate knowing that these gorgeous rooms, like you have to pay for all this, you have to pay all this money for these rooms. And then just to see MJ and Tommy fucking in there, it's like, is anything really ever worth it? You know, I'm just staying.
Never
home.
Going to the Intercontinental.
I'm never leaving my house again.
Yeah. I'm not going to Intercontinental until it's fully fumigated. I want to see a termite tent around that hotel now. But yeah, they're trying. Well, they basically are trying to have sex because they want to have a baby. Or yeah, as MJ like, says, oh, you can do it because you're about to say it.
Oh no, I was just gonna say. She goes, I'm not really sure what ovulating is, but I have to have sex 5 times while that's happening. So we're gonna have sex 5 times.
And then she goes, I feel like today might be the day for him to plant his seed inside of me.
And then she went on for another 2 minutes saying that in different ways. And I couldn't hear it over the retching in the bathroom. I was watching like half-chewed peanut M&M swimming around in the toilet at that point. So
I want an M&M. Obviously, M&Ms are on my brain today.
But I love Tommy. He's like, you look beautiful, baby.
And then they drink these weird opaque orange drinks. It was all so strange.
Yeah. He's like, I haven't jerked off in a week. Like, well, let's talk about something romantic. And he's like, I just need to stick it in someplace. Like, you've come to the wrong place to have a romantic talk. Okay?
Let's talk about something romantic. Babe, I didn't know you want to talk about the Mets.
What do you mean you went to a knob store? You got a knob right here.
Hey, baby, what do you want? The handle or the knob, huh? Because I got both, baby.
Knobs and sticks.
It's like, that's not even the movie.
Hey, milk, lemonade, round the corner chocolate's made, am I right, huh?
Babe, I'm going to unload a bunch of dead sperm into you. Those things have been exhausted. They died 4 days ago. Come on.
Hey, Gigi's party. We cut out of here before the entire camera crew gets sick and starts committing suicide.
Yeah.
So we go over to Gigi's 80s party, and she's like, most people are afraid of 35, but I have good plastic surgeons, so I'm not scared. I mean, that's why I look 25.
25 years older than you were 10. When you were 10. Yes, I agree. Shalom and Mike have a moment because they both dress as like Run DMC, which is fine. And then Asa shows up and Gigi's like, look, Asa, look what I got you, a wheelchair. I mean, this is too much. I'm sorry. It's too much. I understand pregnancy is a burden, but like the wheelchair for Asa, come on.
And Asa's like, thank you, especially for the nachos. Like, that's all that Asa cares about are nachos.
Yeah.
Like, she's so into them. So you see MJ come in, and Asa's just looking at her like, fuck you, but also playing with her hair because she's nervous. Mm-hmm. And she's like, hello. And MJ's like, uh-huh. And then she says, she's so fake. She's just so fake. So those two still hate each other.
Yeah, and Asa thinks that she's toxic.
Yeah. And then we basically, okay, you go through this part because I wrote fun fight.
Well, there was also a really awkward moment where Gigi tells Asa in front of Shalom, oh, by the way, I haven't told Shalom this, but in 2 months, I'm ready to start having a baby. And you could see him being like ready to throw himself in front of an oncoming roller skater, hoping it has the same effect as a Mack truck. He wants to Celeste Talbot himself. So
he kind of walked away. He's like, what? It's like, geez. She's like, yeah, you know, remember that time you said hi to me in the hallway? Yeah. Now we're about to have a baby together.
Yeah. So now Tara shows up, and Tara's with our buddy Craig, our sweet, adorable, wonderful Craig, also from Newlyweds the first year. That's how we all met each other, know each other. So Craig is there looking so cute in his little sort of like tennis, his wearing what was a polo shirt and like little short shorts.
Yeah, I think he was like the Revenge of the Nerds.
Okay.
Movie. He was like one of the preppy guys. He's so Craig.
Yeah.
First of all, he's wearing that. He's like wearing a pink sweater around a white polo shirt.
Yes.
And then in the ice skate or in the roller skating rink, Adam can't skate. Shalom can't skate. It's like no one can skate. But then they just show Craig zooming by like an Olympic skater. You know, his arms are like swinging out. It's like he's doing triple pirouettes. And
like reaching into his Mamma Mia like grab bag of tricks that he can adapt to the roller rink.
Yeah, he's like putting to work his like old Starlight Express moves.
I didn't realize that was Craig. I thought that was just some other person. But it wouldn't surprise me if it was Craig.
Oh, I thought it was Craig. I was like, of course that's Craig.
Well, he could just take credit. Because, well, you know he could probably do it. He's probably, like, roller skating on the ceiling. So while Craig is, like, Nancy Kerrigan out on the roller rink, we learn from Gigi that she invited... By the way, do you hear the helicopters outside? This is Gigi arriving. It's the SWAT team's arriving for Gigi. So that's Gigi,
funny because you said Nancy Kerrigan, and I was like, and Gigi's getting her Tonya Harding stick ready to fucking... slam somebody in the knees, you know, and then the police are overhead. Yeah. It's all perfect.
Who's Jeff Galooly, though? Who? So, Shervin, probably. So, basically, Gigi tells us that she had Tara and Shervin over, and he admitted to Gigi that it happened, but that she agreed to keep it a secret and not say anything to anyone. So I'm like, okay, that's great. You're now telling us everything right in front of you're on TV telling us.
Yes, and there's no evidence that she's kept it secret at all, except that she didn't call every single person on speakerphone. She's like, well, I'm really close friends with him, so I'm going to keep his secret. You are not going to keep his secret.
Absolutely not. But this was like kind of this pretty bombshelly, you know, that he would admit it and then try to get Gigi to help cover it up, because if there's one thing that these people can't do, it's cover anything up, and I mean that both literally and figuratively. Oh, and the best was so they were all
I just saw like MJ in every outfit she's ever worn as you said that. I'm just sitting here like laughing at the in my brain montage of really terrible MJ outfits. Yeah.
So they're all like, you know, there's a lot of like side eye about like, I can't believe what Shervin's done. There's Tara's here, yada, yada, yada. So Tara and Craig are hanging out and Shervin shows up and everyone was surprised. No one thought Shervin was going to show up because of the whole scandal and everything. But he shows up with a gift and this crazy blonde mullet wig. And Craig is there in the corner and Craig is like, is he really wearing that wig? What is he doing? What do you think he's going to do in that wig? It looks hideous. And then
he just shrugs.
He shrugs and sips his drink and looks away and rolls his eyes. And the producers go, tsh, when he rolls his eyes. It's like this. Craig was not having it. Which and is funny because when we met Shervin, crazy. It's because Craig introduced us to Shervin.
Yeah, so I guess they all made up.
Yeah.
So what else happened here?
So Craig,
get to the fight.
I am. This is all part of the fight. So then Shervin comes in, and so Craig basically takes over Tara. He's like, come on, let's move over here. Let's get a. She's like, I just don't want to talk to him. He's like, no, we're gonna move you over here. Which is funny that like the Newlyweds people are basically taking over the Shaz of Sunset scene right now. So Reza starts talking to Tara about it. And he's like, why did you ever say anything? And like, why did you say anything in the first place? Why did you open your mouth about this? You lost your husband as a result. Why would you do that? So.
Yeah, why would you lose your husband, you hussy?
It's like, how is this any of fucking Reza's business?
Yeah.
Why? Why is it always on this show, Reza always gets everybody to go gang up on somebody? I hate it.
Yeah. So now Tara starts getting annoyed because she's getting annoyed just because she's like Shervin's scum. She doesn't say that, but she's basically pretty much saying it in as many words. And she's saying, like Annalise should know, like, what sort of asshole he is. You know, like, look at the way he's treating me. Look what a dick he's being to me. And, like, you know, Annalise should get out because she doesn't know what sort of mess she's gotten herself involved with, you know? So while she's bitching about Shervin, Shervin can tell something's going up, so he has to come regulate. So he comes and joins the group. And they're like, did you have sex with Tara? And she's like, no. Are you crazy? Are you sick? And he basically starts acting like Tara is the crazy person here when he clearly had sex with her.
Yeah, and he literally says,
well, you need to start taking pills because you're delusional.
Yeah.
You're delusional. It's totally all in your head. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Why is it this big of a deal?
Yeah.
I mean, I will say that if you're fucking around with somebody and you both agree to keep it secret and then one of you doesn't, that's not cool. So
Yes. That's
not cool of her to be telling everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially when she's using it as an excuse
to
like get rid of her husband. Like, he didn't sign up for that.
But also this is like the great American tradition of mansplaining, like, to women in this condescending way, like, she's the crazy one, you know, like,
oh, she's crazy, she needs to be on pills, you're crazy, what's wrong with you, what's wrong with your brain, that, like, when I had sex with you that night, you're telling people that we had sex, that's crazy.
That's how good my dick is, it makes the ladies nuts.
And then off to the side, Mike is sitting there going, whatever, she wanted it, he's just trying to get some, like, ugh. Disgusting.
Yeah, they're super classy. So, Finally, Reza, he's all pissed off, whatever.
And he says this is so insulting. He goes, Shervin turns to Reza and goes, listen, Reza, I could get any girl I want. Like, I could do any, like, I could walk, it's easy for me to get a girl. Like, this, it's not even my type. Like, it says it right into Tara's face. It's so insulting, Shervin. And you know what? Yeah. We love Shervin. Gross. We stand up for you, Shervin. But this is not right. You're being an asshole.
MJ's like, well, you know, Shervin really likes secret down low shit. I mean, shit that's not even just like downtown. It's like across three bridges, around a corner, in a basement, through a tunnel, up some stairs into like a lake door where you open it and then you have to, you know, swim through the lake. And then like you ride an alligator to a castle. And then, like, climb the castle wall, and then it's, like, under a tree. It's like, okay. Like, she just took it so far. She's like, that's what gets his dick hard. Yeah. The secretive part.
Yeah. So basically now Reza goes outside, and Gigi tells Reza that Shervin told her that he did have sex with Tara. So then Shervin is like, I mean, Reza's like, ah! So he goes back inside the rolling rink and he's like, Shervin, Gonessa said you fucked her and you admitted it to her.
Yelling in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Like, that's so him. And I love how he got the info too. He like storms outside while Gigi's smoking and he's like, Gigi, tell me the truth. Did he tell you or did he not? Shervin! I can't believe you would blame. Like, screams at him. Sure. So then Adam's like, Adam is behind Reza talking to somebody else walking inside. And he goes, he's a liar. Liar, liar, liar. It's like, you're such a little bitch. Your husband is enough of an asshole without you chiming in for no reason. Fucking Adam. What the fuck do you care?
I don't know. Team Gay is riled up. You know, roller skates and Team Gays. So now Shervin and Gigi are talking because Shervin is basically – now Shervin's going to continue the gaslighting onto Gigi, and he's still denying that he ever did anything with her. But then he decides to pull this one move, which I think was really sneaky. It was a way I think he was trying to get himself off the hook. He's like, you know what? You want me to say I did it? I'll say I did it. If it makes you feel better, if it makes everyone feel better, I'll do it. I'll say I did it. I'll do it. No, it'll just make you feel better. I'll do it. I'll say yes. I slept with her. I slept with her for 6 months, and I know every single part of her body. I know that her G-spot is up and in and a little bit to the left. I know all of it. There, does that make you feel a little bit better? Because I said that. Okay, great. It's like, I know what you're doing here. You are admitting to the truth, but you're framing it as if you're doing it to make people feel better about it. So that way, it's plausible that if Annalise saw this, you could say, no, I just had it to make the, to get them off my case. But actually what you're doing is you're owning up to it in a shitty way. So I know what you're doing. You can't have it both ways, Shervin.
Well, Annalise is still dating him, despite the fact that on their first date, he was such a prick to her.
Yeah.
And such a chauvinist asshole. So I really don't feel sorry for that blow-up doll. No, I don't care.
I don't feel bad for her at all, to be honest, because she knew what Shervin's a player. They're in totally different hemispheres, times two, Eastern, Western Hemisphere, and Northern, Southern, okay? And so she should know better. Find someone better for you in Australia, okay?
I love Reza. He's like, oh my God, listen here, Bill Clinton. There's already sperm on the dress. Secure, an idiot. My favorite part in all of this was Adam catching people up on gossip. He's like, you will not believe that. That girl totally fuck blah blah blah. And Asuka goes, you guys, like, babes, I don't mean to interrupt, but these nachos are amazing. And then Adam just looks at her like,
I just wish one of you babes would have gotten me these nachos for me. Like, we did. Where do you think those came from? I just feel so physically alone.
I just feel so bad that you guys put a jalapeno on here and tried to kill my baby babes.
So nevertheless, as the episode ends, Shervin gives us a new story, which is like,
all I did was I met up with her because she was told that I give really good advice. So we had drinks and that's why I give advice to her. And that's all that happened. And she's making the rest up. Even though I said I give the best advice when I'm naked and inside you. That's all.
Didn't he say at one point, she did hit on me. Like, she tried it with me. Like, she tried it with me a couple of times, and I told her husband. Didn't he say something like that?
He did say that at some point.
And I was like, you told her husband that she was hitting on you?
Why would you tell the husband if this is a girl that you've only met, like, three times?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what's going on.
Why would you even
on?
Get involved? Like, you know, it's just, it's weird.
But I have to hand it to Tara and to Destiny. I mean, it's not easy getting a job on a well-established reality show when you've already been on other shows, you know?
Yeah, they're both recycled. Destiny was on People's Couch. Tara was on Newlywed's First Year, so.
Yeah, so props to them, because you know Tara's going to be on this cast.
Yeah, well, she should be. She's
probably
crazy.
Probably next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you hang up on me, Ben?
No, I'm here.
Ben, did you hang up on me? Because I don't hear you, Ben.
No, I'm here.
Oh, my God. Ben.
Well, I'll just wrap this up because...
Did you leave me, Ben?
This is the end of the episode and Ronnie can't hear me. So anyway, everyone, come to our live show. Come to watchourcrappins.com to get tickets. We love hearing from you. Ronnie has already disappeared into the Las Vegas night, and I'm going to let disappear into the Los Angeles night. Thanks, everyone, so much. We'll be back tomorrow to talk some Real Housewives of Orange County. Bye!